ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing our reading from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 9. Today's text is 27, yes? Naisha Paravara Matir Bhavato Nanu Syad Jantur Yathatma Suhrido Jagatas Tathapi Sangsevaya Suratayor Eva Te Prasadah Sevanurupam Udayo Na Paravaratvam Naisha Paravaramatir Bhavato Nanu Syaj Jantur Yatatma Surido Jagatastatapi Sangsevaya Suratayorivate Prasada Sevanurupam Udayo Naparavaratvam. Naisha Paravaramatir Bhavato Nanusyaj Jantur Yatatma Surido Jagatastatapi Sangsevaya Suratayorivate Prasadaha Sevanurupa Mudayo Napura Varatvam Naisha Paravaramatir Bhavato Nanu Syaj Jantur Yatatma Surido Jagatastatapi Sangsevaya Suratayorivate Prasada Sevanurupa Mudayo Naparavaratvam. Please chant. Paravaramatir Bhavato Nanu Syaj Jantur Yatatma Surido Jagatastatapi Svevan Rupa Mudayo Naparavaratvam Naisha Paravaramatir Bhavato Nanu Syaj Jantur Yathatma Surido Jagatastatapi Sangsevaya Suratarorivate Prasadaha Sevanurupa Mudayo. Vaishnavins. Okay, synonyms. Na, not. Esha, this. Para avara, of higher or lower. Matihi, such discrimination. Pavataha, of your lordship. Nanu, indeed. Syat, there can be. Jantoho, of ordinary living entities. Yata, as. Hatmasuridaha, of one who is the friend. Jagataha, of the whole material world. Tatapi, but still. There is such a demonstration of intimacy or difference. Sangsevaya, according to the degree of service rendered by the devotee. Suratareo eva, like that of the desire tree in Vaikuntha Loka, which offers fruits according to the desire of the devotee. Te, your. Prasadaha, benediction or blessing. Seva anurupam, according to the category of service one renders to the Lord. Udayaha, manifestation. Na, not. Para avaratam, discrimination due to higher or lower levels. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable. Because for you, there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Please repeat. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable. Because for you, there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11, the Lord clearly says, Yeyata mang prapadyante tangs tataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders to me, I reward him accordingly. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Sorupahai, Krishna Nityadas. Every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. According to the service the living entity renders, he automatically receives benedictions from Krishna, who does not make distinctions, thinking, here is a person in an intimate relationship with me, and here is a person I dislike. Krishna advises everyone to surrender to him. Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. One's relationship with the Supreme Lord is in proportion to that surrender and the service one renders unto the Lord. Thus, throughout the entire world, the higher or lower positions of the living entities are selected by the living entities themselves. If one is inclined to dictate that the Lord grant something, one receives benedictions according to his desires. If one wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, the heavenly planets, he can be promoted to the place he desires. And if one wants to remain a hog or a pig on earth, the Lord fulfills that desire also. Therefore, one's position is determined by one's desires. The Lord is not responsible for the higher or lower grades of our existence. This is further explained quite definitely in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself. Yanti deva vrta devan pitrin yanti patri vrtaha Bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajano pimam. Some people want to be promoted to the heavenly planets. Some want to be promoted to Pitriloka. And some want to remain on earth. But if one is interested in returning home back to Godhead, he can be promoted there also. According to the demands of a particular devotee, he receives a result by the grace of the Lord. The Lord does not discriminate, thinking, here is a person favorable to me and here is a person who is not favorable. Rather, he fulfills the desires of everyone. Therefore, the Shastras enjoin, Akama Sarvakamo Va Moksha Kama Udharati Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushang Param. Whether one is without desires, there is condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitful results, or desires liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. This is from the second canto, chapter 3, text 10. According to one's position, whether as a devotee, a karmi, or a gyani, whatever one wants, one can get if one fully engages in the service of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshtarne Om Agyana Tibarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadate Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padad Sahagana Lalita Shivashakanvatangsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jaganpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha kopaturubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So many people reading this translation today would say, that's the problem with you people, you believe in desire trees. Ha ha ha. He believes there's some tree you can go to and you can ask for whatever you want and it'll give it to you. Ha ha! Even people who believe in God would think this is ridiculous. So even though they treat God like he's a desire tree, isn't it? Oh God, give me a Mercedes Benz, give me a nice house, give me a wife, give me a this, give me a that. They treat God like he's a desire tree. But they don't believe in the existence of desire trees. So we don't care what they think. Those of us who have been very fortunate enough to come in contact with this particular body of literature, the Vedic literature, as handed down in the Supak succession, because that's important. There are many people who have, just like, for instance, in India, before Prabhupada formed this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, there were many people who had access to the Vedic literature, but they were not living the Vedic lifestyle. They were not Vaishnavas. They didn't even accept, really, that it was true. They were brainwashed by outsiders, in particular the British, to believe that only backward Aboriginal people believe this kind of stuff. You have to come to the modern platform. Believe in science. Accept science as your religion. And many educated Indians fell into that trap. Until Prabhupada really established his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which means, and still means, reestablishing faith in the Vedic literatures. People didn't have any faith. Very many people. Even those who went to temple. They went to temple, they went to bow down and ask for something. Give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. That's what they went to temple for. Not to really believe that there were desire trees and you can actually get to Vaikuntha Loka. And that, they weren't interested in that. So it takes a pure devotee of the Lord to really establish and propagate faith in the Vedic literatures, which is required before one can actually approach God. If you don't have faith in God's word, you're not going to accept God, really. You're going to see God as a desire tree to give you whatever you ask for, and then vilify him when you don't get what you want or things turn out in ways just like what's happening all around the world right now. You know, let's face it, the material world in general is not a place of great faith in God. We don't come here because we have great faith in God. We come here because we want to be God, because we want to take God's position. So it's not a place of great faith in God to start with. And when things become really, really bad, even those who had a little faith, they lose that faith because they think, if there really is a God, how could he allow these guys to bomb the Boston Marathon? How could he allow, you know, this plant to blow up in Texas and people just die instantly like that? How could he allow these things to happen? Like God should be your, you know, your watchdog and your bodyguard and prevent you any harm from, not even a hair on your head should be harmed because I believe in God, therefore he should just, you know, like that, do whatever I want and, you know, and then also get out of the way when I don't really want him in my face, you know, stay a little bit behind. You know, that's their idea of God. But Prahlada is saying, no, that's not God. Prahlada is praying to Lord Nrisimhadeva. Lord Nrisimhadeva obviously knows his position. So it's not like Prahlada is giving him some information that he doesn't have. Why is he stating all these facts? So that we can understand God's position. It's not that Lord Nrisimhadeva needs to hear this from Prahlada. So Prahlada is establishing that God doesn't have any friends or enemies, really. We're all God's parts and parcels. Hare Krishna. So God is not partial. And he says that himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvesho Stinapya. Eva Janti Tama Bhaktya Mayite Teshu Chapyaham. Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I favorable to anyone. I'm equal to both. But one who renders service to me in a friendly mood is my friend, and I'm also a friend to him. So sometimes this is very bewildering. On the one hand, God says, I'm not partial, I'm equal to everyone. But if you approach me in friendship, then I'm your friend. So what is this? If you're not partial, you're supposed to be impartial anyway. So Prabhupada tells a story of, he says, generally speaking, in India, you know, the husband is generally older than the wife, by 10 years, sometimes even more. So when he gets a little old, he wants to retire. So he says to the wife, I am going to leave all the money for you. You take care of the family affairs. I'm going to retire to Vrindavan, and you send me 200 rupees every month so I can exist in Vrindavan nicely. So Prabhupada says, if you come to Vrindavan with 200 rupees a month, Krishna will be for you 200 rupees a month. You've left your fortune, lakhs and crores for the family members to enjoy, and you're coming to hang out with Krishna with 200 rupees a month. So Krishna will be for you 200 rupees a month. So then Prabhupada said, but then the person may say, well, I am a foolish jiva, I but he's God, he should be impartial. So Prabhupada said, that proves he's a person. He's a person. He's not just some impersonal energy, that whatever you do is okay. God is a person. So if you approach him in the mood of 200 rupees a month, he will be for you 200 rupees a month. But if you come to Vrindavan and you give him everything, then he will be for you everything. So the mood is set by you. How you approach God. As Krishna himself says, if you, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. It's all based on your degree of surrender and your mood of service, as Prabhupada said in today's purport. So we should take that to heart. Krishna is not just some amorphous energy, as many people think, that God is some amorphous energy out there, aware of me, conscious for sure, but not really a person. I just ask for what I want, I should pop out of the cloud, and I should be happy in that way. No. That's not the way it is. And it's not that when things go bad, you blame God. No. As it's stated here, he's fulfilling everyone's desire. Just like a desire tree. There's another nice story about desire trees. One guy, poor guy, hungry, comes to Vrindavan and he's hearing everywhere about Kalpavriksha desire trees. All the trees in Vrindavan are Kalpavriksha desire trees. He says, what is this? But anyway, I'm hungry, I don't have any money, so he sat down under the tree and said, if you're really a desire tree, well, I want some laddu, some kachori, some samosa, some rice, some dal. Boom! Big spread came in front of him. Everything he asked for. Wow, he was shocked. He said, wow, this is really true. These are really desire trees. So he tucked in, he was eating. And naturally, when you eat and eat and eat, after, especially after being hungry for a long time, you get a little bit sleepy. Parasympathetic nervous system kicks in and you start getting nice. So he got nutty, fell asleep, and then he woke up in the middle of the night, it's dark, he couldn't see anything around, he said, oh my God, I hope there's no tiger, because he's on a desire tree. Boom, a tiger came. So be careful what you ask for. That's the whole point. Yes, even if you think that God is a desire tree, be very careful what you ask for. Because you ask for this mess that we're in. We ask for this. We want it to be in a material world with no God in sight. Otherwise, God could be on every corner in your face, but we don't want that. We don't want that. We don't even want demigods in our face. Imagine if every corner you went to, there was Lord Shiva and Nandi, there was Lord Brahma and a swan going by. You couldn't deny their existence. So no, they stay away, especially in Kali Yuga. In previous yugas, the demigods would come regularly. But in Kali Yuga, you don't see them. Because in Kali Yuga, everybody is in the mode of ignorance and passion, which means foolish. Means foolish. Even when they're given the opportunity, like this morning we saw, we had a guest here sitting in a chair over there. And even though the Lord is giving his darshan, he's over there sleeping, you know, drooling and sleeping. No consciousness of what's going on. This is ignorance. So for the most part, in Kali Yuga, people are in that mode of ignorance. Even when you shine a light on them, they don't want to see it. They close their eyes. They say, get out of here. They don't want the light of knowledge. But this is what this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for. To spread this light of Krishna conscious knowledge. Krishna is dhamma pagate dhamma gyana dvisaha kalo nasya dushangisha purana arka anadinodita. Krishna, this age of Kali began when Krishna left, departed for his own abode. Sadhama upagate, he went back to his own, accompanied by dharma gyana adibi. Dharma, real religion, real religious principles. Jnana, real knowledge. Adibi, and everything else that's good, left with Krishna. So then what to do? So, kalo nashyadu sangesha. In this Kali Yuga, because Krishna's gone, everything is dark. Purana arka. This Srimad Bhagavatam that we're reading every day, or we should be hearing from every day. This is the light in the Kali Yuga. So, technically speaking, we don't require temples. We don't require temples. What the only thing that's really necessary is this dissemination of this light of knowledge. Prabhupada said, we could close all the temples, we could sit under trees every day, but this preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam has to go on. We have to hear Bhagavatam every day, and we have to distribute the Bhagavatam every day. So the most important aspect of the Krishna consciousness movement is the production and distribution of transcendental literature. That is what the Krishna consciousness movement is actually meant for. Temple worship, restaurants, all of that is nice, but it's not absolutely necessary. This is an additional sweetening the pot that we have the temples. And Prabhupada actually said it's required and that it's necessary. Otherwise, we remain impersonal. If we don't have deity worship, we may become big scholars of Bhagavatam, but we remain impersonal. So the deity worship is necessary to remind us every single day that God is a person. God is a person, the supreme person, not a person like us. So that's why deity worship is essential. But again, technically speaking, we could do without the temples. The real important or most important aspect of the Krishna consciousness movement is dissemination of the light of the spiritual knowledge, this Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's again teaching us through his prayers to Lord Narasimha. He's teaching us in every step of the way. When he was speaking to his father, he was teaching us that you're miserable because you've accepted this materialistic way of life. Sada samudvignadhiyam asadgraha. You've accepted this, the asad, to be important. That which is not important in this body. Tatsadamanyu suravaryadehinam. Sada samudvignadhiyam asadgraha. This body and everything else, all the trappings, everything that we're chasing after in relation to the body, is temporary. We are permanent. We are a permanent spiritual being. So we can, the permanent can never be happy with the temporary or in a temporary atmosphere. And people don't understand that. They're thinking that by material adjustment, they're going to be happy. Just like these two young men in Boston. You know, it's interesting when you see the same scene that everybody's looking at. Depending on your angle of vision, you see it differently. So even within the family of those two boys, I saw an interview with his uncle, and uncle saying, they're losers. They didn't take advantage of being in America, what America has to offer. Jobs everywhere. Everybody can, you can come here and be happy. They're losers. I'm glad they caught them. I'm glad like that. That's one uncle. Father, the brother's father. And then on the other side, they interviewed an auntie who's in Canada. And she said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't see any evidence. These boys are too nice. They would never do something like that. They must have been set up, you know, like, and the father is also saying it was a setup. My sons would never do that. So depending on your angle of vision, you're going to see the same scene differently. You know, we take a place like Syria right now. You know, a lot of the citizens, they're fighting against the dictator Assad. They want to get rid of him. But then there's still a clique of citizens who are in his cohorts. They want him to stay because they have a nice life under him. You know, they're the ruling class and they have everything they need materially. So they want to keep that position so they don't mind if the government bombs and kills innocent children and women every day. They don't care. They want to stay in their position. So depending on your angle of vision, you're going to see the same scene differently. But the Srimad Bhagavatam has given us absolute vision. It's not relative to your position, where you are, whether you're in the heavenly planets or on earth or in the hellish planets. Or doesn't matter where you are in this universe. The Bhagavatam is giving absolute vision. Krishna is God. We're his servants eternally. We can never be happy here. This is the angle of vision that the Srimad Bhagavatam has given to everybody. Ah, Brahma Bhuvanala, it doesn't matter where you go. You could be in the heavenly planets. You could be on Lord Brahma's planet, which is the highest planet in the material world. It doesn't matter where you are. You're not going to be happy. Because bhutva bhuta paliyate, this entire material world, it gets wrapped up, destroyed periodically. Just like winter is followed by spring and summer and fall, and then winter comes again. The whole thing is on a cycle. And so it's the whole world, material universe, is going to get wound up into the body of Lord Vishnu. So before that happens, or before you die again, try to come to the platform of real knowledge. This is what Prahlad is saying. Everything else is temporary. Lord Nrsingadev, and there is no other shelter but Lord Nrsingadev, the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. And he already said that. Balasyaneham Sharanam Pitarona Singha. That the child cannot be protected by the parents. Nowadays the child is killed by the parent. I didn't even know that. Surya was saying in his class, somebody put the child in a microwave oven and killed it. So that you can't even take shelter of your parents nowadays. There is no real shelter. That's what Prahlad was saying earlier in his prayers. Balasineha Sharanang Pitarona Singha. The father, mother, they can't really give shelter to the child. The doctor, the medicine, they can't save the patient. And the boat cannot save you from drowning in the ocean. The only shelter in this world is Lord Srinagadev's lotus feet, which is represented by the Hare Krishna movement. So we're very fortunate we've come in contact with the Hare Krishna movement. Otherwise, people will be bewildered. They would look at this painting and they would think that, you know, Lord Srinagadev is actually a child abuser. Really? Can you imagine? If you, let's say you're a law enforcement officer, and you go into a situation where there's a little boy and his father, the father's bad, you'd actually want to get the boy out first and then kill the father. Not kill the father in front of his son, his five-year-old son. But they don't understand. It's completely on the transcendental platform. Lord Nrsingadev obviously knows Prahlad is completely above the material contamination. It's above any, you know, material affection based on the body. So therefore, he killed his father in front of him. Everything is going on the absolute platform here. But if you don't read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you wouldn't understand that. You would think, my God, ripping his father apart in front of the five-year-old boy. This is like child abuse. He's going to have PTSD. But no, Prahlad is not going to have any trauma related to his father's killing. As a matter of fact, he said, He said that, my Lord, please wind up your anger now, but that you've killed this great demon. Because modeta sauro apivrishtika sarpachi, he said, even the saintly persons are happy when a snake and a scorpion is killed. What to speak of the snake-like father that I had. He said, so Prahlad was not disturbed at all. He was seeing things as they are. So this is the opportunity that we have through the Srimad Bhagavatam, through Srila Prabhupada's presentation of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we can see things as they are. And not look for false shelter in this world in terms of bank balance and, you know, my materially powerful friends and, you know, my son is a doctor, therefore I don't have to worry. No, none of these things are going to give you shelter ultimately. The only shelter is the lotus feet of the Lord as represented by the Hare Krishna movement, which means that we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, any discussion, questions, comments? Yes, Bhakta Anthony. Hare Krishna.
I was just wondering when it says that the Lord reciprocates on how much service you do and what mood of service that you do your service in. I was just wondering, is this just like labor service or is this also with like chanting and reading?
Service means the nine forms of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. So everything has to be done in the proper mood. There's a quality, in other words. Just like we're chanting Hare Krishna every day, but we're also reciting every day, that one can go on chanting Hare Krishna for millions of births and not attain the goal, which is love of Godhead. So everything has to be done with a particular mood and a particular quality. That's what we should be striving for every day. We're very fortunate we've come in contact with the process. Krishna Prabhupada says it's a transcendental science of Krishna consciousness. But being a science, it has to be applied scientifically. Just like you don't want to go into a chemical lab and just willy-nilly throw things together. You're going to wind up with an explosion, most likely. So similar to this, even on the path of Krishna consciousness, you can blow up your devotional status by doing it improperly. So we have to try to execute devotional service properly. That means all nine aspects, whether you're hearing or chanting, everything has to be done in the right mood. Just like we tell new people who are newly introduced to the Bhagavad Gita, try to read Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically accepting that Krishna is God. You may not realize it yet, that Krishna is God, but at least accept that theoretically, and then it starts to make sense. If you're just reading it as some nice poetry or, you know, whatever, you may not have the same effect. But if you read Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically accepting that Krishna is God, then it starts to have an effect on you. Much better effect than if you just read it as something. So it's the same thing with any kind of service, whether it's menial service or more esoteric service, hearing and chanting. All service has to be executed in the mood of, I am the eternal servant of God, I'm doing it for God's pleasure, like that. Offering it through the spiritual master in the cyclic succession, not directly. We're not on that platform. So if we approach in that mood, then it's more relishable to the Lord, and we will be rewarded accordingly. Make sense?
Haribol. One more thing.
Yeah?
You're saying do the service for your spiritual master. Say, like, you're cooking food. So, and I remember in one class, I forgot who was giving class, they said that Prabhupada said, don't forget to feed me. So I was just wondering, you know, when we offer food to Srila Prabhupada, does he also, like, eat it like Krishna does and give us the remnants, or does he just, like, give it to Krishna?
The understanding is that everything goes up through the disciplic succession and the mercy comes down through the disciplic succession. So technically speaking, when you offer something to your spiritual master, let's say you have a spiritual master who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he offers it to Prabhupada, who offers it to Bhakti Siddhanta, gets offered all the way up to Krishna, then it's relished, and then the prasadam is offered back down the chain to you. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Gratarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.